Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
These are people that are telling you one thing, but their motives are wholly different. And they're very unstable and insecure, and they're glossing over and acting like it's no big deal.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Jude, because we're going to stay there. But I'm going to finish with 2 Timothy chapter 2, because they're important, because they both were written in the mid-60s ADs. Jude here, and there's a number of Judes in the Bible, but when notice verse 1, he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, he's identifying himself straight up right away, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. People reading this, he was writing from Jerusalem, they knew immediately he identified himself as a doulos of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his half-brother. He said, I'm the servant. And then he says, and it's a triad, he's writing to them that are sanctified by God the Father, they're preserved in Jesus Christ, and they're called. This is the first triad, three topics together, the first of 16 that Jude writes in this little 25-verse epistle. And he says to these people, this group of people, listen, as it is today, he says, you're sanctified. Your past is washed away. You are preserved. You never have to worry about losing this gift of salvation that Christ gave to you. And on top of that, you're called to the future. You have something that's incredibly important. And he, these first four verses, lays the overview of Jude by saying, I'm just giving you, this is the call. He said, I felt compelled, or he uses the idea that it was needful for me to write, and I'm exhorting you. He said, I've got to tell you about these things, because here he is now, 30 so years later, he's seeing drifting, he's seeing differences, he's seeing changes, and he's so burdened about it, and it's the same tone that Paul had in 2 Timothy 2. We'll get there. But notice, if you would, here Jude now says, here's what I'm so exhorting you about in your Bibles, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The idea of contend is the idea to earnestly fight for. It's the idea of kind of a new energy, or it's a self-denial for a bigger cause. It's the idea of a military term that you're controlling a certain area. You're contending for, you're like a military person fighting for a treasure or fighting for ground. It's like I'm creating, he's saying, kind of a green zone. This is his call, that we would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares. He's saying there are certain people that have slipped in the back door to your church and to your beliefs, and you need to be careful about them. Those are people, he said, that are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, they were scripturally recognized, this is going to happen. And he said, they're ungodly men, they're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or sensuality, and they're denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there are people like that. Do you think that our church today is different than what it was back then? As long as we stay to this truth, then we're okay. But boy, it's a challenge when you end up having so many people taking God's word. It's not so much those that are outside the church. It's those that are identifying themselves with the church. Jude says they've crept in unawares. They came in the back door. Let me encourage you, as he uses this idea, really fighting to make a difference. It's a holy war for a holy people. Now, what are those identifications? This is what Jude says. It was in his day, so it is for us. Let me give you these four, if I could call them spiritual terrorists. What do they look like? Every one of them have a shade of difference. He says we've got to move beyond the playground to a battlefield mentality and say, you know what? There are bad people out there. They want to do that to you spiritually. What are those people? Let me give you these four characteristics. The first mark of a spiritual terrorist, to identify yourself, their doom is certain. And what they try and do is overwhelm the minority. There are so many of them, and Jude here identifies the three examples from the annals of history by making the statement assuring us the doom of apostates inevitable. He uses it with the three examples of the first one in verse 5 of the history of Israel in Numbers 13 and 14. If you're taking notes, he says, listen, they're going to be destroyed. And that's why Jude identifies all three of those as understanding that in all of those occasions, they kind of overwhelm the minority. They kind of have the attitude that, you know what, we're going to take over. By the way, for you as Christian, I've heard many times people that have been saved out of culture, been saved out of churches that are not teaching salvation by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. They've said it many times, they've so wanted to come to Christ, but they look back over their families and their families and their families, and then the organizations, religions that offered them, they were in, they'd go, this can't be wrong. How could this be wrong? How could so many people be wrong? And it kept them from coming to Christ by thinking, how could these people be wrong? You've got to understand that a spiritual terrorist is going to come after, knowing, first of all, their doom is certain. But Jude also gives a second spiritual terrorist and a characteristic when you identify that in addition to that, their tongues are blasphemous. He says in verse 8 to 10, he says, likewise, now he gives another triad. He says also, these are filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. And then he identifies, those are godless men. He identifies Michael the archangel in verse 9 as another part of the triplet in verse 9 and 10. Michael the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Evidently, Michael had some kind of conversation with the devil because the devil wanted Moses' body. You say, what do you think about that, Pastor? I don't know what I think about that. Other than the fact, that's exactly what it said. They had some kind of argument, and Michael won, and the devil lost. And somewhere along the line, Jude is saying, listen, this is another example of a person's tongue that's blasphemous. And in addition to that, he uses Cain and Balaam and Korah, another triplet, as a part of a bigger triplet in verse 10. But speak evil of those things which know not, but what they know naturally, like they're brute beasts, and those things they're corrupting themselves. Verse 11, woe unto them that they've gone the way of Cain. Which he's talking about very simply of a person that is running greedily after the heir of Balaam, in addition to that, for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah, Numbers chapter 11. The way of Cain, that's the broad way that leads to destruction. It's a religion that offered the fruit of man's works in order to gain acceptance with God. And that's what he's saying. This is an illustration of it. You can't work your way to heaven. He says Balaam refers to the teaching and treachery of an Old Testament prophet whose allegiance, like that of Judas Iscariot, could be bought. He said there are people that are in religion just for the money's sake of it. And in addition to that, he's talking about Korah. These were the people that were serving so close to Moses, and they decided, I don't have to wait on Moses to do this. I can do this. And there was rebellion of attitude towards authority. And you can just imagine these new believers and these New Testament believers hearing this and realizing that Jude is unfolding, unlike very few people could unfold. He lived with Jesus to help them understand that you've got to contend, you've got to be willing to have a battle mentality to say, you know what? I've got responsibilities to contend for the faith, not just the faith of Christ, but the faith embodiment of what scriptures are. He said, I got to have a mentality to be able to protect that, like a soldier creating a green zone. These are people that are bad people spiritually, and they've come in amongst you. And Jude's saying, you better be cautious. What do they look like? Their tongues are blasphemous. This is why you and I've got to be aware. And it's interesting, he expands this whole idea by moving to a third point, and that is their religion is empty. because they humanized the supernatural and making the immoral innocent. And they were mocking doctrinal beliefs. That's kind of the whole point of their tongues are blasphemous. They're humanizing the supernatural. And does that happen today, by the way? Do you find people that are religious that kind of like mock the fact that, come on, you're telling me that God created man and it's God's creation, and you're telling me that this one little book is really God's word that's telling me that, in this case, homosexuality is wrong? You got to be kidding me. And even in that day were the seeds of a belief that even in religion today, it's okay to be homosexual. God loves them. So do we. But you've got to understand, God says, listen, this is a destructive lifestyle. I say all this because Jude was getting very specific with areas that help those people to realize, I've got to be aware. Let me give you a third point, and that is that their religion is empty. That's what it says in verse 12 and 13. When he says, and he really gives the idea that they're glossing over, they're varnishing over greedy gain. These are people that are telling you one thing, but their motives are wholly different. And they're very unstable and insecure, and they're glossing over and acting like it's no big deal. And so Jude here gives six pictures. I'm just going to state them for you because we don't have time to go into all of them. But I think it's important for you to understand when he says, verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity. I think he's talking about, actually, it's like a dirt spot on a priestly garment. The priestly garments were white, and here's this big brown spot, and it's so obvious. Or it's the idea of when I was talking about a hidden reef, and he's saying, listen, just below the surface is a coral reef that if you head towards that, you're going to be destroyed. He says they're like a filthy spot, or they are like a selfish shepherd. He uses the idea in verse 12, stay with me. They're feeding themselves without fear. The whole idea of feeding is the idea of shepherding, and they're very selfish. They act like they care about you, but they really don't care about you. He also uses the metaphor of empty clouds. He says clouds that promise rain, but they fail to produce. They're disappointment. He uses the idea of dead trees when he makes the statement that they're like a picture of an orchard in autumn, the time when the farmer expects fruit, but the trees are fruitless. And there's this continual buildup of disappointment. He says they're like raging waves of the sea, verse 13, foaming out their own shame. And it's the idea of who doesn't like the ocean? If you live in Guam, it's like it's beautiful to watch. But I'm going to tell you something. When typhoons head through and when the end of that typhoon blows through, there's all kinds of junk up on the shoreline. And so there really is non-productive. And then he uses the idea as well of a wandering star when he says the wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That wandering star, he's saying these people are just like these six pictures. And the wandering star is referring to meteors, falling stars that suddenly appear and then vanish into the darkness, never to be seen again. He says, listen, all of these are individuals that he says it's reserved chains of darkness for the rebellious angels. He's reserved the blackness of darkness forever for apostate teachers. Beware of following a falling star. It'll lead you into eternal darkness.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.